Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by FIVO. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and you know football is back when Matt Sims of the Sims Complete podcast comes back to the show to talk 49ers, also some Jets, some quarterbacking, and all of the things. Matt is one of our most favorite guests. I hope the other guests aren't listening today so that they don't feel offended, but he is one of our most favorite guests. He's like family. You know, Matt's more like a family of the show.
And don't forget, we sprinkle in a little, just a little of that Michigan, you know, just a little Michigan talk every now and then.
We do. Before we started, I showed Matt that at this Women of the Niners event last night, or on Wednesday night, we're recording Thursday, a wonderful fan brought me a Michigan versus everybody sweatshirt that I, or not sweatshirt, bracelet that I will be wearing forever. So
forever. I sleep with it. I shower with it. It never leaves my body.
Yeah. I mean, it's been on now for like 12-ish hours because it's nice for the brand. And I love it. So Matt, welcome back. Off-season over. I mean, for those of us that cover the NFL, the off-season's been over. There is no off-season. And the off-season has really been over since training camp began. But we made it. On the day we're recording is the first day of football. When this comes out, we will not know what happened because we're not clairvoyant. But I know it will be a good game. That I do
know. The Chiefs will win. So there you go. There's my clairvoyant moment. The Chiefs are going to win. And I'm excited to watch that first game. And I'm so sad, too, for my wife, just because I know I'm going to turn on the TV tonight and she's gonna be like, oh, my God, it started. I'm like, yes, it is here. And yeah, goodbye. I love you. Yeah.
This has been great.
See you at the end of the year. That's right.
I hope you and the kids have a lovely several months.
Oh, I know.
Send me Halloween pictures. Can't wait to see.
Yeah.
Well, Monday night's game is, you know, it's got the potential to be a really good game. It's the 49ers and the Jets in Santa Clara at Levi Stadium. Aaron Rodgers makes his much anticipated return after he made his much anticipated debut with the Jets. And poor guy lasted like a minute. I mean, it was not long before he tore his Achilles. He also comes back to Santa Clara. We seem to still be talking about how he could have been drafted by the 49ers. And by we are not going to talk about it because that storyline, as far as I'm concerned, is long over. But it's a storyline. The 49ers had some hold-ins. They had some holdouts. Everybody's back. The Jets have a holdout that's kind of interesting. There is really much to discuss with this game. So
that intro was amazing, by the way. You know, guy lasted a minute. You know, like just the hold-ins, the holdouts. It was awesome. I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but just it was everywhere. And yeah, that's kind of how I feel like the offseason has gone.
It's been everywhere.
Thank God for us that we actually can now talk about the game, because to fill in the blanks and to discuss all these things during the offseason, man, it gets old super quick. And thankfully now we actually get a product on the field that kind of just tells us what the real story is.
BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during the games. Think you know your stuff? Get in on our $200,000 mega contest and pick five games against the spread every week for your chance at weekly prizes and a share of $200,000. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Bet online. The game starts here. 100%. So let's start there. Let's start with the real story. I will, on the holdouts and hold-ins, Brandon Ayuk's back. Trent Williams is back.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey is healthy, returned. They had a bonus practice, we kind of like to call it, on Tuesday. Their first actual practice on Thursday. But basically, the 49ers are back and healthy and ready to go, which makes a huge difference, because a week ago, I would have actually felt very differently about this game, especially if there was no Trent Williams. Another storyline for the game that hasn't been talked about because of his contract issues, but Hassan Reddick is the person that took Brock Purdy's elbow from him in the NFC Championship game. He may or may not play Monday night because somehow the Jets, in all of their wisdom, traded for him, knew he wanted a new deal in March or April. And it is now just about a few days from week one.
Yeah.
Things aren't looking good there, but how different are the Jets without Hassan Reddick?
I really don't know. I mean, really, with the Hassan Reddick situation, it's just it's just you're playing with that little cherry on top. Because I really do think that the Jets defensive line and the defensive unit in general is going to be one of the best in the NFL this season. I think it is going to resemble, you know, the golden years of that San Francisco 49ers defense that we saw just a few years ago when Robert Saleh was the defensive coordinator of that unit. And I really am not concerned about the Jets defensive production without Hassan Reddick on the football field. If and when, and hopefully they do get him back, that is just an added bonus to the situation. But this is going to be one of the best defensive lines in all of football. It's going to be one of the best linebacker units in all of football. And I truly expect the New York Jets to make it very difficult for the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football.
All right, so let's start there. The 49ers have Trent Williams back. They did not make a ton of changes otherwise across their offensive line. Dominic Pooney, who is a draft pick, a rookie who kind of surprised everybody.
His team looked really good.
Really good and seems to have won the right guard job, even though they don't like to actually say those words out loud. We've seen that he's really won the right guard position, but that is a good line against this offensive line. Trent Williams is back, but he's been back. We're going to talk about a minute. He has not been back very long, but he's Trent Williams. And, you know, he should be okay. He may not play as many snaps, but what challenges do they provide to Brock Purdy and this offense and to the run game on an offense that predicates itself so much on the run game to get going?
Yeah, and in preparation of this conversation with you, I was kind of going back and forth in my mind as far as like who has the significant advantage. You know, both of these coaches know each other so well. And, you know, I kind of go back to, the offensive guys, I feel like usually have the best opportunity to create havoc against defensive coaches, especially when they're very familiar with each other, because it's a little bit easier to break their rules when you know their rules so well. Given this situation, though, being at the first week of the year, this is unique. And I feel like first week of the year, it's very tough for offenses, offensive lines in general, to be like super in sync with their with their blocking schemes, with their approach. Also, too, just being in great game shape throughout the game. And that's why I still think that I give that slight edge to the Jets defensive core unit and Robert Saleh to, you know, maybe mix up a few things defensively, but also too, just from everything that I've read here in our local area, you know, and for the 49ers fans, I live in New Jersey. It's, you know, the Jets have really gotten after it in camp. They have not messed around. They have practiced and gotten after it, and they've been playing very physical brand of football. I'm friends with a person too that's in upper management as well. And he's like, they have not been messing around. So I do, you know, from those things of reading between the lines, feel like the Jets have that slight advantage of one, awareness of how Kyle calls his game, the lack of reps for Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey to me are concerning. You know, they're not really that ready to go, and to expect to just be full speed, you know, a few days from now, it expects a lot. So again, I just think that Robert Saleh and the Jets, they will have that slight advantage of being able to maybe be a little bit more physical at the point of attack, maybe take advantage of the conditioning of some of the guys that haven't been around as much. And also too, just switching up the looks of their defense and just playing a good brand of physical football.
And on the other side of the ball, you have a 49ers defense that is certainly not a slouch. A number of changes along the defensive line that obviously we know lost Eric Armstead, but I think as we've talked about on the show, on the aggregate got better. They have Leonard Floyd on the other side of Nick Bosa. That's something they've been missing. Of course, there have been some injuries there along the defensive line, but assuming that they're not too serious and that Leonard Floyd is able to play on Monday night, they have obviously a very good defensive line, a very good linebacker unit, but missing a very important part of the unit in Dre Greenlaw, who's still recovering from his Achilles injury in the Super Bowl. And in the secondary, it's kind of an interesting spot back there because you have probably two of the best corners of the league in the league in Charvarius Ward and Diamador Lenore. They bring in the rookie Renardo Green, who's played inside and outside, and I think they're hoping he can kind of do what Diamador Lenore did last year, but can he do it on Monday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers, or is it going to be Yeadom and Ward with Lenore coming in? And then you also have Hufanga, who's not back yet. So the secondary, though strong, has questions. There are a lot of questions that they have. So that leads me to one of the biggest questions, of course, and that is, can a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles injury be the same Aaron Rodgers that we've seen, and how much havoc can he, you know, wreck on that defense? Because he certainly is a havocable quarterback. I think I just made that up, but
I'm No, I like it. Let's roll with it. Yeah. So he is definitely havocable, for sure. And it, for Aaron, there's been a lot of talk, obviously, this offseason, and just, does he still have it? All those things. I think we even saw Chris Canty take a very, you know, aggressive take as far as saying, you know, he's just not that guy anymore. But, you know, he doesn't have to be that guy. You know, he doesn't have to be that guy, pal. But he really is. He's still one of the best throwers in all of football. He still has the wealth of knowledge that he has. And he's still a better athlete than I think a lot of people give him credit for. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing really is, you know, he's going back home. And I think what we got to remember, like, last year he was pumped, but like playing against his favorite team growing up, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, even like Javon Kinlaw, like I expect like these two guys to really have like good games just because of the fact that, you know, Aaron's playing his favorite team, Javon's playing his former team, and a whole off season again of really being around Aaron and just getting into that same frame of mind. Like we've seen Garrett Wilson and his excitement. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're going to see a lot of these other young receivers get more involved, less pressure now on Alan Lazard, which is big. We're going to see a good impact by Tyler Conklin, which we've all been hoping for in New York. And then really Breece Hall, you know, and Braylon Allen in that backfield, that just being a little bit more physical attack offensively. So I expect Aaron Rodgers to really be on the top of his game. And I expect them to be very aggressive defensively, too. I think Hufanga, like you mentioned, really is the biggest missing part for that secondary, because he does add a level of just tenacity and grittiness, especially for the running game and just the way that he plays and runs around the football. So I still think, you know, and I'm sorry, 49ers fan, as I continue to talk about this, man. And I'm wearing green today. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you really are. You really, like, you really.
I really am. And I got the Jets helmet behind me. Oh,
you really went for it today.
Oh, sorry, guys. But, yeah, I really, you know, I don't even know why I'm on this show. Let's go Jets as I keep breaking down this game.
I mean, I think these teams match up well, and I think the Jets are in a really good position to win because also of what you said, you've got three guys from a conditioning perspective that just haven't really been available. I mean, Christian McCaffrey dealing with the calf injury, which I think, and I want to talk about this a little bit later, but I think is something to watch kind of generally. There's been a lot of workload on Christian McCaffrey over these last couple of years, but I want to get back to Aaron Rodgers.
And we know during the game, it's going to be a lot of workload. Like when has Kyle ever been like, oh, you know, we're just going to use a little bit of Christian. It's like, no, we're going to find 10 million ways. And then before you know it, it's like, all right, he's got 20 carries. Mm-hmm. He's got 10 catches. Oh, and he was targeted 15 times out of the 10 catches that he has. So the dude can get his work in.
And every time Kyle's like, well, I mean, that wasn't the plan. Yes, it was. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Exactly. Yeah.
Plan. It's just that it was working. Of course it was working. It's Christian.
Of course. Yeah, that's right. Of course. Yeah. Of course. You thought about this. Don't. Yeah. See, Tracy, you know. You it know. Don't play those games, Kyle.
We can pretend. We can go with this. Yeah. It was the plan. But I do want to talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit more because I think in some ways, we actually don't really know if he's still the guy. I mean, he was in the game for 47 seconds. He's getting shorter and shorter the longer the podcast goes on.
I know, the poor guy.
He's in the game for 47 seconds, and I think we don't know what he's like on this team.
No, we don't.
We really don't know yet. So I think that's going to be interesting to see on Monday night as well. Is he going to be the Aaron Rodgers he was 10 years ago? No, probably not. Five years ago? No, probably not. But we haven't seen him with this team in this offense. And to me, that's going to be one of the most interesting parts of the game is to get an idea. And it's week one. So, you know, we're going to make sweeping statements about the state of everyone and every team.
No doubt.
On their performance. But I will say in this case, if Aaron Rodgers comes in and has a great performance, I would feel like Aaron Rodgers really is back. If Aaron Rodgers comes in and has a terrible performance, I think that's reason for concern because this entire Jets team, as good as that offense is, they have great young receivers, Breece Hall. This team is predicated on Aaron Rodgers being good for them. I think Robert Saleh's employment is predicated on Aaron Rodgers having a good season for them because I just think there's too many excuses.
No, you're right. And I think that is the beauty of the sport, too, in a lot of ways, because when we have look at me. I'm talking like I'm one of them. Right. But when you are an athlete and you do feel like, yeah, but just you know what I'm saying, Tracy, when you are in a locker room like that and you do feel like the back is against the wall and the whole world is just like, yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, it just I think it really is just an awesome galvanizing thing for a football team. And I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, it doesn't even matter what his motivations are, whether they're for the group or for selfish reasons. It doesn't matter. Dude is like going to be ready to go. Mm-hmm. And now, can he fight the excitement, right, that he couldn't for that opener a year ago? Because that's really what happened. They cut the two defensive linemen. Right. And he held the football because he was like, yeah, man, like, let's go. I'm going to take over New York and Gotham City. And he took a sack on a play where it's like, dude, you've been playing, you know, almost 30 years of your life. Like, get rid of the football. Right. So can he fight those urges? You know, can he actually be less human? Right. And just kind of cancel the noise. But, you know, again, Morgan Moses, Elijah Vera Tucker, Tyron Smith. This is one of the most improved offensive lines in the NFL. I expect this offensive line unit to be really, really good. Mm-hmm. I expect them to be able to, at times, have their way with the San Francisco 49er defensive line early in the season because of the way that, you know, Aaron and this attack will be. All of the control will be on him at the line of scrimmage. And I really give him the benefit of the doubt to get his offense, the offensive line, the skill group, and the best play possible consistently. And you know, really, I think the hardest part for Aaron and for this defense is like, does Nick Sorensen, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, does he have any new wrinkles, or is he literally just like, this is the pamphlet that Kyle gave me from D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh, and I have to follow this pamphlet, you know? So that'll be the question mark. But again, that's why I give some favor again to just the experienced quarterback who is still one of the best throwers in the game to one of the more talented receivers in the game that really is ready to prove to the entire NFL, like, we are here, we are real, and we are not going anywhere. And there's really no better time to do that than Monday Night Football going back home to California.
This is something we talked a little bit about with Brock last year when he was coming back from injury, and I would just like kind of take on it. It might be still, this is probably the non-competitive athlete part of me that even would think this way. But for Aaron Rodgers, is there any, I mean, we are all human. Even Aaron Rodgers is human. Yeah. Is there any little tiny bit of like, I hope it doesn't happen again? Or can you just not think like that?
Of course, there's the possibility of that, right? Mm-hmm. I think that now that he's gone this kind of far through this camp process, that you're just kind of like, now you're in that tunnel mode and you're just going, right? I'm sure early on in camp, you know, he probably made a sudden movement and he was like, oh, I'm good. I'm all right. Yeah, like, okay, let's keep going. And then you just kind of continue to build that confidence from there. And yeah, I mean, Tracy, we're dudes running around in tights with shoulder pads and a helmet, and it's not the 80s. Like, we're crazy, all right? We're nuts. So, and we're running into each other, and we're throwing an inflated pigskin. So, you know, it's like, of course, we're a little crazy. And I just, you know, Aaron, hey, he's human. But the good thing for the Jets is that Tyrod Taylor is one of the better backups in the NFL, too. And that's something else you got to keep in mind, because he is a quarterback that I think can come in and win and salvage more games than the situation they had a year ago. So again, all things I think just leading to, you know, yeah, we're finally going to see the product that we've all been kind of waiting to see, especially in our New York metropolitan area.
And I remember Brock saying last year, the first hit, he was like, okay, I'm good. Like, it was good to get out of the way. Yeah. It was like the first big hit and he's like, okay, I'm fine. And that felt good. So,
and that's true for both quarterbacks, because both quarterbacks in practice are like, oh, yeah, like I got the football out. But it's like, yeah, dude ran by you. He didn't run through you, you know, and that'll be the biggest adjustment for both of them. Right. Is the fact that they just, you know, none of these guys play preseason. Aaron Rodgers' first real snap, right, is going to be on Monday Night Football. So, you know, just respecting the fact that, yes, now they can hit you. Mm-hmm. right, is a big thing.
Well, Brock Purdy did play a little preseason.
A little bit.
On an interception, tried to make a tackle that I think almost put Kyle Shanahan into cardiac arrest. Like, I think that.
I mean, like, what are you doing?
What are you doing, 49ers fans? Me as a reporter was like, what on? I mean, come on. But that's Brock Purdy for you. So let's talk a little Brock Purdy. Because now we are going into Brock's third season. His full second season. A lot of people forget he did not come in until December of his rookie year as he took him to the NFC Championship game. This offseason, not worrying about rehab, that is not an issue. This is really his first real offseason. Right. He wasn't worrying about the draft, wasn't worrying about rehab. What do you expect we see differently or maybe improved? I'm not saying he needs to improve, but what do you think we see differently or maybe improved from Brock Purdy?
Well, I mean, I know that there has been some rumblings that he hasn't had his best camp of his career.
That is correct.
And, you know, I think the reason for that is that their backups are not as talented as maybe Sam Darnold was a year ago.
Right.
And I think Sam Darnold was like the great stable horse of just like, yeah, I'm a pretty good NFL football player. Like, you have to be sharp because I'm going to go out there and do my thing too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that I think Brock now, you know, being an established guy, has to continue to keep his edge that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, as the season goes, he'll get more and more tuned in with what the scheme and the offense is. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a tall task for him, although he's that much more experienced and that much more confident in who he is as a person, as a player. We know that, right? We know mm-hmm. how tough he is. We know his leadership. But just, yeah, like, he has to find new ways to motivate himself, right? And to remind himself, too, that, like, you know, yeah, in a weird way, yeah, like, a lot of us still think you are Mr. Irrelevant. So you got to keep going, you know? Now, that's not true. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, but he needs to continue to make the world around him Michigan versus everybody type of mentality a constant. Maybe
we should give him the bracelet.
You know? Yeah. So Brock versus everybody. So Mr. Irrelevant versus everybody. But that'll really be the question for him, right? It's just continue mm-hmm. to just remind people like, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that still doubt you, that still think that you're a product of Kyle Shanahan, and you need to go out there and just put it in their face every single time. Like, hey, I'm still that guy, right? And put it mm-hmm. on tape. And that'll be the biggest thing. But again, no Christian McCaffrey. No Brandon Ayuk.
No Trent
Ricky Pearsall in the offseason, you know, thank God that he's alive and healthy.
He's okay.
You know, and just, yeah, no Trent Williams. That's to say that, you know, you're going to go in that huddle and be like, all right, guys, hey, first time doing this, let's go. You know, mm-hmm. like, it's just, there's going to be some growing pains, I think, a little bit for this offense, given the fact that there just has been a lack of repetition and execution as a whole.
And it will be interesting to see how much that affects it, because Debo Samuel said it a couple years ago, his holdout, even though he was back at camp within a couple of days, his holdout affected his season. Nick Bosa said that he felt his holdout affected his season.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them regret holding out. They should get what they deserve 100%. So they should get it. And so now if you have three people, I mean, I know Brandon's been there, and being in meetings, but it's not the same as being out in the field and the conditioning that goes with that and all of that.
Right.
So it is going to be interesting to see how it affects them generally, because it's a lot of people that weren't there. And Christian was an interesting injury thing, but it's a lot.
For sure. And you even bring up a great point, too. Like, all those guys that you mentioned who had that holdout, like, they all said that they kind of got really ready to go like 4 or 5 weeks into the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, we all know, right, in this football world, some fans really don't respect it enough, but just like how important September and October are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. And, you know, for the offensive guys, yeah, just that communication and being on the same page like that, as cliche and annoying as it is when you hear it, it is a real thing. You really do have to be just like so in sync with each other as far as to where you just know what this person is doing. And it's just you trust it to the umpteenth degree. And that's where I feel like for Kyle, can he be as explosive and as creative offensively,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, yeah, you know, is it worth being super creative without the repetitions or maybe the conditioning that we need for certain players at certain positions.
But you know, Kyle is just chomping.
He can't help himself.
Yeah. He can't, and he's going against Salah. And I mean,
no
he
doubt.
Just, yeah. I mean, he's just, and there are a lot of guys on that staff. I mean, he is just.
Oh, I know.
He's going to want to be Kyle, and I don't think he's going to be able to help himself. But I kind of think this is a Jets victory. Sorry, guys. I kind of think it's a Jets victory. And then, I mean, Santa Clara is going to be like, it's over. Last year was the only year. We didn't win it. It's done. Pack it up. But I think I think this could be a Jets victory. There are just too many things. There are just too many things, I feel like, going in their favor and maybe going against San Francisco. Do I think it's going to be a blowout like that Ravens game? Absolutely not. But I think it is. I think it's going to be a close football game. You do have staffs that know each other well, teams that know each other well. So I'm going to give this one to the Jets by like 3 points.
Yeah, I like that, and I really do. I just give that slight edge to the Jets because I just feel like that they are like ready to go right now type of a team, and they're coming into the season, I feel like, with that same sentiment and feeling that the 49ers did a year ago, you know, of like, oh, like, you know, we had it. Now, of course, the Jets weren't in a championship game and they didn't lose their quarterback in that football game. But I think they're a team that really does feel like, wow, like everyone keeps counting us out because of what happened last year. And they're really not respecting us at all. And we really need to get after it. And then, yes, the job security aspect for everyone involved, including Aaron Rodgers, I think is the greatest motivator for anybody on a football field, too. Of like, listen, guys, it's either get it done or you're, you know, toodles. Bye bye. We'll see you later. You know, enjoy the hike down Route 17 because we're moving on. And that's a highway over here in the area. But, you know, it's just like that's the thing. Right. I just feel like they're going to be ready to go. They're pissed off from a year ago. And I really think that with all the stuff that happened to the 49ers off the field, not so much on the field, really, it's impossible for me to think that this team is just like a well-oiled machine ready to go week one.
And the vibes have been different. I don't know how else to explain it. I couldn't put my finger on exactly what it is. Could it be probably all of the above? It could be the Super Bowl hangover. It could be a lot of things. The vibe's been a little bit different. And I think it's totally right. Yeah, it's a lot of things. And I think it'll take a little bit of time to get them back. And so before everybody freaks out, September and October are really important. But I think the 49ers have proven in the last few years, November, December, are even more important, but I'm giving this one to the Jets on Monday night.
Ooh, you know, and just Jermaine Johnson, Quinnen Williams, Javon Kinlaw. Like, I think he's gonna be the, like every 49er fan's gonna be like, well, you didn't do that for us. You didn't do that for. I already know what's gonna happen. You know, he's either gonna not play at all, or he's gonna have like a great game, the greatest game of his career, and that's where I feel like that's gonna happen. And then you know, Clemens is a great player. You know. Williams at linebacker is one of the greatest young linebackers in the game. Quincy. And like, he is just phenomenal. Michael Carter just got a contract extension. So it's just like, I feel like everyone on the Jets is just like, man, you know, you just can kind of feel that, you know, everyone's kind of intoxicated with just let's go, let's get it. It can't start soon enough. Put the football down, as my high school coach used to say to me. So, hey, it doesn't matter where it's in, just put the ball down where I'm going to kick their ass. All right.
I love it.
And I feel like that's like how the Jets feel this year.
I love it. I think that is the perfect place to end today's podcast. Matt, thank you so much for joining me today. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, Sims Complete. My father and I were talking all things football, mainly focused on the quarterback position. You find me on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Sims Complete, and also Phil Sims on Instagram, Twitter. And he's on the YouTube page of Sims Complete. So please give us a follow, like, link, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we'll bring you more football action. And I'll be here with Tracy all year because she's my dog, even though I really don't like Michigan at all and how she talks about Michigan. I really appreciate sharing the floor with you, Tracy. Thank you so much.
I appreciate sharing the floor with you and that you put up with my love.
That's tough.
And wait till we get to later in the season, we can talk about Jim and the Chargers. That'll be super
fun. Let it go.
Never. My man, I love him. I've already devastated about JJ. You can't take Jim away from me.
That's right.
You guys, head to our website, fgsn.com. We have a whole new revamped website. Subscribe to our newsletter. It's really fun. It's coming out twice a week now, and we're really excited and proud of it. So do that. You can follow me on Instagram at Tracy Sandler, on Twitter, X, at TracyFGSN. If you like what you heard, and I know you did, make sure to give us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. We are brought to you by FIVO. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And I believe that's everything I got. Bye, all.